from Washington, D.C. It's the last honest man in Washington. It's the Cooner Show. From the Washington Times. From our nation's capital. Live from the belly of the beast. It's Cooner Time.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570. 301-984-9570 is the number. My friends, we are now joined by the one and only nationally syndicated conservative talk show host. You can hear him from his flagship station in WOR in New York, WOR710.com for those of you on the internet. Steve Maltzberg, buddy, how are you?
And Allah Aleichem. Hey, I hear there's going to be, what is there, a puppet show at the White House tonight?
Yeah, there is. Apparently there's another party at the White House.
Oh, man.
Yeah, this time, though, it's going to be a dance show. There are ballet dancers, hip-hop, modern dancers,
wow.
Ballet. There even could be some bumping and grinding.
I don't doubt it, but is the dog attending?
Now, in fact, listen, Steve, I was going to ask you about the whole issue about the Quran being burned.
Yes.
Troops have now been killed. Two more soldiers have been killed in Iraq, 9 wounded. I thought combat operations were over.
Yep.
But before we get to all of that, here was the dear leader. Yesterday, on the campaign stump at a rally in Milwaukee, saying that, hey, you know what? His opponents talk about him like he's some kind of a dog. Ray, roll the clip, baby.
Come on, Ray.
Go, Ray.
The left of Istunya.
That's Faiz Mohammed. That's another clip, Ray.
Wait a minute, now, Jeff. You could understand the mistake.
Well, he just. Ray just came back from a nice 5-day vacation at a multi-million-dollar home in Virginia Beach. He's a little suntanned. He's not himself right now.
I know.
Ray, this is the clip where Obama, it refers saying that the Republicans are talking about him like a dog, Ray. All right, go ahead. Roll it, Ray.
Our middle class doesn't just survive this crisis. I want it to thrive. I want it to be stronger than it was before. And over the last 2 years, that's meant taking on some powerful interests. Some powerful interests who have been dominating the agenda in Washington for a very long time, and they're not always happy with me.
Yeah.
They talk about me like a dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's not in my prepared remarks.
Yeah.
Oh,
Steve,
my God.
What do you make of that? I mean, is that a psychological insight that he's referring to himself as a dog?
Look, I played the sound bites today when he was his first press conference, so when everybody wanted to know how, after the election, they asked him what kind of dog they're going to get. And he said, we'd like a purebred, blah, 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 but we want a shelter dog. He says, but a shelter dog, you know, most of them are mutts like me. So he referred to himself as a dog there, and then he went on The View, and he said that African-Americans are a mongrel people. So he used the dog analogy there, and now yesterday he says they treat him like a dog. But, you know, the interesting point is, besides the psychological illness and the significance of that, in this country, now I stress in this country, dogs are treated pretty damn well. My dog sleeps with me. He sleeps with my son. He eats 3 meals a day. He's walked 5 times a day. We buy him a bed. We spray him. We groom him. So, and I stress again, in this country, we like dogs. So, this guy reveals himself every time he opens his mouth.
Steve. What do you make of that comment? Is this him trying to play the victim card? Is this him? Is this a subtle sort of racialist hint? Is he trying to go to his support and say, you know, they're so disrespecting me, they're treating me like a dog.
It must be.
How
yeah.
dare you oppose me?
It must
How
be.
Dare you
yep.
criticize my agenda?
Yep. Yeah. Well, don't forget. I mean, this is the most thin-skinned not president. I've never seen, I don't know anybody this thin-skinned. When Maureen Dowd wrote about his ears, during the campaign, he went up to her in all seriousness the next time he saw her and said to her, "Don't write about my ears." So, I mean, this guy is insecure. He's never had this in his life. Remember that. You know that. He's gotten a pass his whole life. He's never been questioned. He's never been challenged. He's lived the life of Barack. So, or Barry, or whoever he is. So, the point is, yeah, there's something psychological here. Yes, it's a signal. Yes, it's accusations of racism. But it's who he is.
Steve, what do you make of the Florida pastor, just to change gears a little bit, Terry Jones, deciding to burn the Quran day on Saturday. He's going to burn a couple Qurans at least, to commemorate the attacks of September 11, what radical Islam did 9 years ago, and General David Petraeus coming out and saying, no, this is going to put our troops in danger. It's going to inflame Muslim sentiment around the world. What are your thoughts?
I just had the Reverend, the pastor on my show at 5 o'clock, and he's planning on doing about 300 Qurans. He's going to do it, even though they haven't gotten a permit. His freedom of speech attorney has advised him to do it. When I heard that General Petraeus, and I know that this was parroting the line of Barack Obama, who probably called him and told him to say it. But can you imagine? Can you imagine? The focal point is not on the Muslims around the world. This is a small group of Americans. It does not represent America. America has saved Muslims and fought for Muslims in Iraq. Here in Afghanistan, we're dying right now for Muslims. In Bosnia, we died for Muslims. You know, we've done more for the Muslim world. Don't you riot. It's not right. It doesn't represent America, blah, blah, blah. Instead, he tells the pastor and the world that if you burn a handful of Qurans, the war is in trouble. You're going to wind up being responsible for the death of American soldiers. Not that radical Islam will be responsible for the death of American soldiers, but the pastor will. Have you ever heard anything so outrageous in all your life? And what I said was, why doesn't David Petraeus just go to Barack Obama in the cave and say, hey, give us our new commandments. Give us the commandments that you want us to follow. Because if this pastor now said, which he won't, if he now said, you know what, General Petraeus said this, I don't want to be the responsible for screwing up the war or having dead American soldiers, so we won't burn the Quran. Then when their next grievance occurs, maybe it's we don't want a female like Hillary Clinton to be Secretary of State. We can't deal with a woman in a position of authority. It's an offense to us. Get rid of her. Or we're gonna recruit and we're going to blow up the soldiers and we're going to riot. I mean, where will it stop? Take the vote away from women in the U.S. Don't drink. All of you get down on Friday and convert to Islam. Where will it stop that General Petraeus will stop with the daily and weekly messages to us saying, if we do this, the war effort will be in trouble. And if we don't do this, American soldiers will die. I have never in my life thought that I would hear this from a man like General Petraeus. We are now done. We are now done. We have no integrity left. We have nothing left. Not us. The people do. But, I mean, in the military hierarchy, in the administration, which we've known for quite some time, but for Petraeus to say this, not to threaten radical Muslims and warn them, but to beg us or the Quran, the pastor, not to inflame the radical Muslims and to put the blood of American soldiers on his hands, we're done. We're over.
Steve, could you imagine a General Douglas MacArthur, a Patton, a Curtis LeMay, a Schwarzkopf saying like this?
They would have been run out of the military in a second. But, you know, and I'll give Bloomberg credit. Bloomberg at least says they have a right to burn the Quran. But it's these same morons. No, he did say that. He did. And I'm shocked. But listen, let me close with this. You know, when Rudy Giuliani, as mayor of New York, went after the imbeciles who called themselves artists and used publicly funded artwork to put a crucifix in a jar of urine and elephant dung on the Virgin Mary, the left went after Rudy Giuliani, called him a fascist. He's Italian. He's like Mussolini. He's a Nazi. How dare he go after this art? The same people are now saying, this pastor is out of control. He can't burn the Quran. How dare he? So it's hypocrisy, and ask yourself, by Petraeus making the statement he made, is he not just making the point of the pastor that it's radical Islam that we have to fear, that it's radical Islam that's out of control, that it's radical Islam that's different than Christianity and Judaism, true religions of peace, and is he not making the pastor's point better than the pastor could ever make it?
We've been talking to Steve Malzberg, nationally syndicated conservative talk show host. Steve, where can people go to listen your wonderful show? What, WOR710.com?
They can 47? Open their window. I shout out my window every night at about 10 o'clock. WOR710.com every day from 4 to 7. And by the way, Jeff, I will be off tomorrow, so you and I will resume, God willing, a week from tomorrow, because you're on my show every Wednesday at 4. I'm off for the Jewish holiday of Rosh Hashanah starting tomorrow night, so I'll be back to my show on Monday, and I'll be back with you next Tuesday, and you'll join me next Wednesday.
Steve, have a wonderful holiday, my friend, and I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, Jeff, love it. Pleasure.
God bless you, buddy. The one and only Steve Malzberg. My friends, I played this clip yesterday, but it was Labor Day. Not only was Ray not here at work, most of you were not at work, and you probably missed the show or at least missed this clip. Let me replay it for all of you, because this is the supposed religion of peace. You want to see how we're slowly capitulating to radical Islam. It's not just this issue of the Quran burning. It's not just the issue of the Ground Zero Mosque. No. A prominent Dutch politician, Geert Wilders, who released a documentary several years ago showing how many Islamic terrorists use the Quran and sayings in Islam to justify acts of terror. And so this documentary, well, was very offensive to many radical Islamists. And so a fatwa was put on his head. Now, Geert Wilders, who's been speaking out against the Islamicization of Holland and the Islamicization of the Netherlands, is now not only one of the most popular politicians in Holland, but now he is a hunted man. And recently, a cleric in Australia, Fayez Mohammed, a radical Muslim extremist, has put a fatwa on his head saying that Muslims all over the world should behead and kill Geert Wilders and others like him that disrespect and insult the religion of Islam. Here is Fayez Mohammed, in his own words, saying Geert Wilders is like the devil and Satan. Ray, roll clip one, baby.
The love of Istunya, the hatred of death, is the reason why we are so degenerated, so degraded, so humiliated. This is the reason why this Satan, this devil, this politician in Holland is doing this. Seeing this evil filth from people like that dirty politician.
Doesn't sound very peaceful to me there. Doesn't, very dirty politician. And he sets it up by then saying, anybody who insults Islam like this politician must be murdered and beheaded. Ray, roll clip two, baby.
Anyone that mocks Islam, anyone that laughs about Islam, degrades Islam, the punishment, whether he's a Muslim or non-Muslim, of mocking Islam is death. The leader of Islam will say, okay, bring him forward. If it's been justified that he did this, it's been confirmed, behead him. Chop his head off. And so you will see people like that, that filthy, dirty politician, whether in Holland or anywhere else in the world, continually trying to mock Islam, laugh at Islam, degrade Islam, and degrade the greatest man that walked this earth, Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Not very peaceful there, is he, Fayez Mohammed? Now, here is one of the most prominent clerics in Australia. Look at what he's saying on the internet. Look at what he's saying. Look how he is openly calling for the murder of leaders and politicians who criticize and disrespect Islam. My friends, I ask you, what is the bigger incitement to terrorists? Who is the bigger recruiter for terrorism? This man, Fayez Mohammed, and millions of clerics like him? Or that pastor in Gainesville, Florida, with his 50 members calling for the Quran being burned on Saturday? I don't know. I think Fayez Mohammed is a bigger threat to the troops and to our security. But that's just me. 301-984-9570. This is Jeff Cooner, the last honest man in Washington.
Try to mock Islam, laugh at Islam, degrade Islam, and degrade the greatest man that walked this earth. Satisfaction in me.
Jeff Cooner and WTNT. That's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby. The Cooner Show. It's Cooner time.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570. My friends, we have an explosive story on abortion. You will not believe. You just will not believe this story. We will talk about it right after the break. Believe me, you want to see what an evil abortion is. You want to see how things have degenerated in this country. Even, I think, many pro-choice people are going to find this story sends chills up their spine. Let's go to Wayne in Silver Spring. Wayne, you've been patiently waiting. Thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Thank you. I wonder what your listeners would think of, say, burning 1,000 Korans on ground zero times 3,000, be 3 million with a little bacon fat for lighter fluid. Do that annually until the jihad is all over with. And then burn it maybe another 2,000 for the two Americans that were killed in Iraq. And in the future, for everybody, every American that's killed in Iraq as a threat, just to burn 2,000 more with bacon fat.
I got to tell you, it would get their attention. Wayne, there's no question about it. Look, and the deeper issue is this. It's not a question of rubbing Islam's nose in it. It really isn't. We're a very tolerant country. There are 1,200 mosques across America. There's over 100 in New York City alone. But that's not the issue. The issue is that in the name of radical Islam, Muslim extremists have been waging war against the West, not just for the last decade. This has been going on for decades. Now, on September 11th, 2001, the war came home to America. But we have been ignoring it for a long time. We ignored the first attack on the World Trade Center in 1993. We ignored the attack on the embassies in East Africa, in Tanzania and Kenya. We ignored the attack on the USS Cole, the attack on the Khobar Towers. Every time we were attacked, we turned away. Well, on 9/11, we couldn't turn away because 3,000 died. Now, just today, as I speak to you, remember that big speech last week with the big ears? Dumbo came out and talked about how combat operations were over, that this was now over. The war in Iraq was over, and he was patting himself in the back. And I was the one saying, nothing is over. 50,000 troops remain, many of them in training and assisting roles to help with Iraqi security forces. Combat operations are still conducting. There is now a firefight going on, not in some faraway province, in downtown Baghdad. Two American soldiers have been killed today, 9 wounded. This war is not over. We're telling ourselves it's over. It's not over. The jihadists didn't get the memo. This is what Obama doesn't understand. This spin, this bubble that he lives in, this make-believe world that he inhabits, it is not coming to an end. The real world is intruding on it. And now the Muslim extremists realize they have America on the ropes. We're leaving Afghanistan. We're leaving Iraq. We are on the run, and now they are looking to repeat the defeat of Vietnam. My friends, the Vietnam era is not over. Except those peace protesters on the streets, those peaceniks, are now in power. That's Hillary Clinton. That's Rahm Emanuel. That's David Axelrod. And that is most certainly the dear leader, our commander-in-chief, our con-man-in-chief. Dumbo, the guy with the bicycle. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. We'll have this and so much more right after the break on the Cooner Show. Too real is this deal.
Schooner Show.
Welcome back to the Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. 301-984-9570 is the number. My friends, this is an absolutely chilling, mind-numbing, frightening story that should literally scare everybody in this country. Two abortionists in Maryland, and I want to specify their names, Dr. Stephen Brigham and Dr. Nicola Riley. Dr. Stephen Brigham, B-R-I-G-H-A-M, and Dr. Nicola Riley. You want to talk about two merchants of death. You want to talk about two butchers. Were ordered to stop practicing abortions in Maryland just a couple days ago after a woman was severely injured. So they're performing this abortion on a woman. She is very severely injured. The police then find out about this. They raid the abortion clinic searching for medical records. And to their horror, this is like out of some Hollywood movie, Aliens. They discover dozens of unborn babies stored in a freezer. You can see the limbs. You can see the skulls. They're stored in a freezer. My friends, this is something that Mengele, Joseph Mengele, would do under the Nazis, experimenting upon children and babies. And then, according to a Catholic newspaper, that's not just the worst of it. Oh no, this kind of stuff doesn't just happen in Maryland. Several months ago, the offices of a Philadelphia abortionist, his name is Kermit Gosnell, was raided earlier this year again after a woman was injured in an abortion process. And they went into the abortion clinic, and the authorities were so disgusted and revolted, many of them puked and had to leave. Because what they found was not just blood on the floor. They found parts of aborted fetuses were displayed in jars. In jars, like trophies, at this Philadelphia abortion clinic. If these are not modern-day concentration camps, if these are not modern-day death camps, then, my friends, I don't know what is. And I have said it before, and I will say it again. Abortion is the Holocaust of our time. And in America alone, since Roe v. Wade, nearly 50 million unborn children have been slaughtered. Their lives snuffed out. Their dreams destroyed. They will never see life because of the actions of liberals and of abortionists in this country. And if we just brought a video camera into these clinics, as we did in Auschwitz, as we did in Buchenwald, as we did in all these, in Treblinka, and all these other concentration camps, these death camps run by the Nazis, if we did that here in America, if we went into that Maryland abortion clinic, if we saw those babies in that freezer, if we saw those body parts in the Philadelphia abortion clinic in the jar, my friends, it would turn public opinion so decisively against the practice of abortion, people would demand that it be outlawed immediately. And so now, in an effort to end the heinous, barbaric practice of infanticide, of abortion, Catholics all over this country are now calling for a 40-day vigil of prayer. And joining us right now is my distinct honor and privilege. His name is Andrew Pappas. He is a pro-life activist. He is somebody who has dedicated himself to fighting abortion his entire life. He is a volunteer for Defend Life, which is a nonprofit pro-life organization. Mr. Pappas, thank you so much for coming on the Cooner Show.
Thank you for having me.
Mr. Pappas, discuss, what is this 40 Days for Life? What is it about, and what are its goals and objectives?
40 Days of Life, for Life is all about emphasizing what you just said, what is going on, and trying to make people aware, and it's getting better, Jeff. It's trying to make people aware of what is going on. You mentioned 50 million abortions since Roe v. Wade. We're still killing. We talk about abortion. Abortion is a pretty word. What it really means is the killing of a living unborn baby in a mother's womb. And it's just horrible. It would make you sick, like you said, if you saw something like that. 40 days for life is an emphasis trying to get to people's minds and hearts to make them aware in a very special way what's going on. Now, all year long, we pray in front of an abortion mill in Annapolis. And what we ask in our churches is that more people join us to emphasize the fight for the right to life that babies are losing every day. So it's an emphasis on what we do all year long.
So now, Mr. Pappas, so the goal is to pray in front of abortion clinics, correct?
That's correct.
Now, is it just in Annapolis, or is this all across the country?
All over the country, and Jeff, I'm not sure. First of all, more and more and more people this is. Gallup took a poll here earlier this year, and the result of the poll is this. 53% of Americans, if they asked a simple question, are you pro-life or pro-choice? 53% of the people said that they are pro-life. Now, 41% said that they were pro-choice. The other 6% said that they were undecided. If you simply split that undecided and went 3% and 3%, at this point we're saying 56% of the American people, as of early this spring, are pro-life. So it's coming. The prayers and prayers and prayers and
there is a pro-life majority emerging in this country.
That's correct. Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, Mr. Pappas. I liken the pro-life movement to the abolitionist movement of the 19th century. Slavery denied the right to life and basic liberties to an entire category or class of people, African Americans, are doing this today to the unborn.
That's correct.
And abolitionism succeeded. Yes, it took a civil war eventually to end slavery, but the hearts and minds of Americans were being changed decades before the Civil War. You people, you and myself, pro-lifers, I mean by you people, pro-lifers, we have been laying this groundwork for public opinion for the last several decades, really since Roe v. Wade.
That's
and my question to you is this. Do you honestly foresee a day that abortion will be outlawed and illegal in America? Do you think that time is coming? And if so, how close?
Let me come as close as I can to a quote from a priest, Father Frank Pavone, who heads up Priests for Life. These are his words. He is convinced that we the people of the United States of America, will put an end to abortion in our country in the foreseeable future. Now, here's the caveat. Here's the but. But we have to come out of our comfort zone to make it happen. That's the answer.
Mr. Pappas, 40 Days for Life. It's a wonderful national program. Where can listeners of Cooner Country go to get more information? Is there a website?
I wish I could tell you that there is a website. There is a website. I don't know what it is.
Okay, but it's called Defend Life.
They could call that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
The group is Defend Life, and it's a nonprofit pro-life organization, correct?
Right. And there are many, many, many all over the country. We have, I'll be reluctant to say thousands, but I know that we have hundreds of crisis centers all over the country, which in effect say you have a choice. Okay, maybe you can't keep your baby, okay, for different reasons, but we will help you have your baby and put that baby up for adoption so that you truly have a choice. And if you simply go to a church, a fair statement to make that the Catholic Church has led the fight here, but now more and more and more Christian churches all over the country.
Oh, I know. We're getting Protestants, Evangelicals, Methodists, Baptists, Jews, Muslims, you name it. Moral traditionalists from all across the spectrum are now joining this cause.
You're saying it better than I can.
Mr. Pappas, honestly, this is the slavery of our time. Abortion is the slavery of our time. This is the overriding moral issue of our time. And, sir, I can't thank you enough for your heroism, your courage, your moral decency. Mr. Pappas, I want to thank you so much, sir.
Well, thank you for having me, and I'll tell you what, I've only been in this fight for 3 years. There have been a lot of other people who have been fighting this thing for 35 years, and finally the situation is turning. The American people are waking up and realizing this is not who we are as a country.
Mr. Pappas, may God bless you, sir.
Thank you. You the same.
My friends, you've been listening to The Cooner Show on 570 WTNT. 301-984-9570 is the number. I'll be taking all of your calls right after this break. Some leftover calls on the Quran burning issue, but also another question for members of the Cooner country. Do you believe that the abominable practice of abortion is going to be outlawed anytime soon? Do you think that the recent incidents of fetuses being found in freezers in Maryland is going to turn the tide of public opinion? Will abortion be outlawed? Should it? 301-984-9570. I'll take your calls right after the break on The Cooner Show. Welcome back to The Cooner Show on 570 WTNT, the last honest man in Washington. Let's go to Gina in New Jersey on line one. Gina, thanks for holding. Welcome to The Cooner Show.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure, Gina.
I just wanted to tell about Islam.
Sure.
You remember after this shooting at Fort Hood, where many of our soldiers lost their lives?
13.
I believe it was General Casey who had a press conference and told that soldiers lost their lives, many of them, and it's a terrible thing happened, but as awful as it sounds, but more terrible thing would happen if we abandon diversity in the military. So, in this case, they agree, General Casey agreed to sacrifice lives of American soldiers in the name of diversity. And General Petraeus telling right now that we should abandon First Amendment because we don't want to sacrifice to jeopardize lives of American soldiers. It cannot be both ways.
Gina, I couldn't have said it better myself. Last week, I talked about what's happening in France, in Paris. How many now you have Muslims worshipping on the streets of Paris, blocking traffic, preventing residents from leaving their home. They're not praying in mosques anymore. They're now praying in downtown centers, shutting down traffic. And what are the French saying? That they are forcing us to adapt our way of life to Islam. And if you've noticed over the last 10 to 15 years, even here in America, look how we keep slowly adapting America to Islam. Now our airports are armed camps. That's one. Now we are teaching the Quran and the Hadith to many of our students. We now have to recognize Ramadan as an official holiday. Now even Muslims, apparently according to Obama, were there with the pilgrims. They were there at Thanksgiving dinner. They were there in the Mayflower when they came off the boat. Islam was with us from the beginning. Look how we have to rewrite our culture, our traditions, our history to adapt to Islam. Even now calling into question the First Amendment. I mean, is this not remarkable, Gina? I mean, have you ever seen a country basically sell its culture away, its principles away, its values away, the way we've been doing it for the last 10 years?
It's unbelievable what is going on.
Now, Gina, I know because we've talked before, you're from Eastern Ukraine, you're an ethnic Russian. Let me be very candid with you. Would the Russians go for this? Would the Ukrainians go for this? Would the people back in the old homeland, would they go for this?
No. No. Never.
Gina?
And this scares me. Let me tell you one more point. That our military brasses, you know, high echelon, they cave to Obama. It scares the hell out of me.
And he should, Gina. This man is slowly dismantling America and everything that we hold most dear. Let's go to David in Oakton on line three. David, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Cooner Show.
Hi, Jeff. I've been thinking all day about this General Petraeus thing, and the more I've thought about it, the more disturbed I've become, and I think it's cowardly and insidious. And it's cowardly because he's acting like battered spouse syndrome, trying to say, oh, no, don't do anything. He'll hurt me. And the fact of it is he's over there with the army whose job is to fight to defend our freedoms. This pastor, you may disagree with the pastor. You may say it's in bad taste. You may not want to participate in something yourself. But that is a freedom of expression, a demonstration to make a point. And Petraeus should be over there defending that, defending our way of life instead of attacking it. And I think that's why it's just insidious to make this sort of domestic political
comment.
And also, and from an organization, the U.S. Army, which has tried to be basically deceitful to us about the Fort Hood massacre and the dynamics behind that, and Major Hassan's PowerPoint slides and his reasoned connection between the Quran and his actions, and then the army trying to deny that, sweep it under the rug.
Excellent. David, excellent. They've been trying to whitewash that entire massacre. He handed out business cards saying he was a soldier of Allah. He said the Quran justified his actions. He did it in the name of Islam. In fact, he shouted out Allahu Akbar when he massacred our soldiers. And yet you won't hear a peep about that from the military. My friends, look at General David Petraeus. Compare him to Patton, to MacArthur, to Schwarzkopf, to all of our great military generals. And I ask you, can a politically correct military win a war, any war? And my answer is no. And that's why our real enemy is political correctness. This is Jeff Cooner on 570 WTNT. On behalf of Ray, may God bless you, and may God bless the United States of America.
The Cooner Show.
Cooner Show.